ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट 23। न ब्राह्मणै तुलये भूतमन्यत् पश्यामि विप्रा किमत परं तु यस्मिन् ऋभिर् प्रहुतं श्रद्धयाहम् अश्नामि कामं न तथा अग्निहोत्रे। न ब्राह्मणै तुलये भूतमन्यत्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O respectful Brahmanas, as far as I am concerned, no one is equal or superior to the Brahmanas in this world. I do not find anyone comparable to them. When people know my motive after performing rituals, according to the Vedic principles, they offer food to me with faith and love through the mouth of a Brahman. When food is thus offered unto me, I eat it with full satisfaction. Indeed, I derive more pleasure from food offered in that way than from the food offered in the sacrificial fire. Purport. According to Vedic system, after the sacrificial ceremony, the Brahmanas are invited to eat the remnants of the food, of the offered food. When the Brahmanas eat the food, it is to be considered directly eaten by the Supreme Lord. Thus, no one can be compared to qualified Brahmanas. The perfection of evolution is to be situated on the Brahmanical platform. Any civilization not based on Brahmanical culture or guided by Brahmanas is certainly a condemned civilization. Presently, human civilization is based on sense gratification, and consequently, more and more people are becoming addicted to different types of things. No one respects Brahmanical culture. Demoniac civilization is attached to Ugra Karma, horrible activities, and big industries are created to satisfy unfathomable lusty desires. Consequently, the people are greatly harassed by governmental taxation. The people are irreligious and do not perform the sacrifices recommended in Bhagavad Gita. Yajnyat bhavati parajanya. By the performance of sacrifice, clouds form and rain falls. Due to sufficient rainfall, there is sufficient production of food. Guided by the Brahmanas, society should follow the principles of Bhagavad Gita. Then people will become happy. Annat bhavanti bhutani. When animals and man are sufficiently fed with grains, they become stronger, their hearts become tranquil, and their brains peaceful. They can then advance in spiritual life, life's ultimate destination. So with the permission and blessings of His Grace Udayananda Prabhu, I'd like to speak a few words on this interesting verse. So the position of the Brahmanas has been glorified in this verse, and this has been a topic of great controversy in India about who exactly is a Brahman. And considering the appearance of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur yesterday, one of the earliest contributions which he made to Vaishnava society is to establish very clearly the position of real Brahman. And the history dates back to the incident in Midnapur, where the Society of Brahmanas had arranged a 3-day meeting, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was supposed to attend that meeting. And the controversy was whether a Brahman is based on birth, seminal succession, or is it based on qualification. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur became extremely sick and he could not be present. And he was very frustrated. And he was crying out to the Lord, "Is there not even a single person who can go and defend this very important topic?" And at that time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur presented to his father a paper which he had written. And this paper specifically addressed this issue of who exactly is a Brahman. And as soon as Bhaktivinoda Thakur read that paper, he cried out, "Saraswati, Saraswati." That means the goddess of learning has actually spoken through my son, and he is the best person to represent. And in 1911, this 3-day conference was held at Midnapur, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur presented to the whole assembly of Brahmanas who had come from as far as Vrindavan, the caste Goswamis and others, his actual conception based on the Shastras of what exactly is a Brahman. And he divided his paper into 3 parts. The first part of the paper was known as the Prakrita Khanda. The second part was the Harijan Khanda, and third was the Vyavahara Khanda. The first part discussed how traditionally in the Dharma Shastras, Brahmanas are considered to be only on the basis of birth. And this he proved to be improper and incorrect by establishing how the Dharma Shastras are basically compiled by people who are into Karmakanda. And therefore their conclusions also will be Karmakandic by nature. And then he established through various proofs from the scriptures how this conclusion is incorrect. The Brahmanas are definitely glorified, and he glorified the Brahmanas by quoting from these Dharma Shastras. The glories of the Brahmanas are described that as far as all the elements of the earth are concerned, each one of them you can see as a manifestation of the power of the Brahmanas. The greatest demigods like Indra and others are situated in their position on earth because of the power of the Brahmanas. The sea, the ocean water has become salty because the Brahmanas became angry upon them. The fire in the Dandakaranya forest is raging because of the Brahmanas' glands. Weapons can only destroy one person, but a Brahmana's anger can destroy the whole family. And so many quotations like this from the Dharma Shastras he quoted, which the Brahmanas also had never heard. And when they heard his quotations, they were very impressed and pleased. But this was just the first part where he was glorifying the position of the Brahmanas. And then he came gradually to the point as to who exactly is a Brahman. And then he started quoting that the Dharma Shastras are basically part of Karmakanda. If Vedas are compared to a tree, then the tree has branches and the fruit. So the 2 branches of the tree are the karma and the jnana. But ultimately we are interested in the fruit, and the fruit is that of bhakti. And he quoted Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami quotes in Padyavali that karvamalambaka kechit kechit jnanavalambaka vayam hi haridasanam padatranavalambaka. There are some people who take shelter of karma. Karmavalambaka kechit, their avalamban is on karma. And kechit jnanavalambaka, and there are some people who depend on jnana. But vayam tu haridasanam padatranavalambaka. But we ultimately take shelter not of karma, not of jnana, but the dust of the lotus feet of the Haridasas, the devotees of the Lord. And therefore that is the fruit of all Vedas. And any conclusions which are quoted from the Shastras, which is not based on pure bhakti, will always be tinged with either karma or jnana. And therefore the definition of Brahman as given in the Dharma Shastras is not conclusive. It is relative according to the conception of the people who are interpreting the Shastras accordingly. And then he comes to the second part of establishing who is a Brahman according to the conception of the Bhagavatam, according to the conception of the conclusion of the revealed scriptures. And then he asks the question, and he quotes from the Chandogya Upanishad. And he says, who is a Brahman? Is the body Brahman? First of all, he says, is the soul Brahman? The soul cannot be Brahman because the soul is always eternal. It is the same for everyone. It is undying, unborn, primeval. Is the body Brahman? If the body is Brahman, then Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra should have different colored bodies. And otherwise, if a Brahmana's son is performing the last rites of his father, and the father, the Brahman's body is being burnt, then the son would be implicated in Brahmahatya, if the body is a Brahman. So body cannot be Brahman. So is caste Brahman? Then caste cannot be Brahman, because if it is based on the birth, then Rishyashringa, the great sage, was born of deer. So you can't say that he was not Brahman, because he was born of a deer. Valmiki was born of anthill. Agastya was born of a cup, of a drone. Vyasadeva was born of Kaivatra Kanyayam, of a fisherwoman. And Kaushika was born out of Kusha grass. So how can you say that he was not a Brahman just because of his birth? Or Jambuka, the sage Jambuka was born out of Jackal, that was his Gotra. And Vashishta was born of Urvashi, the dancing damsel of the heavenly planets. So based on this, you cannot say that just because of caste someone is Brahman. Or is knowledge Brahman? The kind of knowledge you have. So there are so many Kshatriyas who were learned and knew the absolute truth. That cannot be the basis for being Brahman. Is karma the basis for Brahman? The laws of karma act equally upon everyone, and everyone has to go through these influences. That cannot be Brahman. So then is being religionist the basis for being Brahman? No, that is also not possible, because there are so many Kshatriyas who are following so many principles of religion perfectly, like giving in charity, etc. So that is not the basis for being Brahman. So what exactly is the basis for knowing who is a Brahman or not? So he says, Brahman is not based on seminal succession, but it is based on three things. Three things. First is that the person's qualifications has to be considered. And this is the most important principle for being a Brahman. That first, what is his qualification? What is his activity? Second is, what is his behavior? And third is, what is his culture? That was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's conclusion. His ABC of being Brahman. Activity. What are the actions he is performing? Are the actions that of a Brahman, as that recommended in the Shastra? What is his behavior? Is he showing the symptoms of being truthful, self-control, free from pride, charitable? And thirdly, what is his culture? So in this way, this is the actual basis for being Brahman. And it quotes from Bhagavatam, Yasya tat lakshanam proktam, as described in the 7th canto. That all of these are part of the understanding of who is a Brahman. It is based on one's actions and symptoms and not based on birth. And then he quotes so many examples from the Shastras, and primary example he quotes is that of Satyakama. That Satyakama was the son of Jabala, prostitute or a maid servant. And when Gautama Rishi asked him about his birth, he said, I do not know about my birth because my mother says she does not know. So he showed the behavior of being truthful, and based on seeing this behavior, immediately Gautama admitted him as being a Brahman and accepted him as a Brahman. And in this way he quotes various other examples of how certain Brahmans, because of improper behavior, were not considered Brahman and they should be considered Shudra. So if a Shudra shows the qualities of Brahman, he should be considered Brahman. And if a Brahman shows the quality, actions and culture of
a kshatriya, I should be accepted like that. So ultimately this is the primary principle for acceptance of who is a Brahman. And then his conclusions were so perfect and so shastric that nobody could refute. And on the third day he gave a 3-hour conclusion with the Vyavahara Khanda. The second was the Harijan Khanda, where he established the glory of the Vaishnavas. And then he compared the difference and ultimately established the Vaishnavas as the greatest Brahman. And he gave the evidence of the discussion between the Yamadutas and Ajamils, the rescuers, the Vishnudutas. How the Vishnudutas were Harijan and the Yamadutas were the Prakritajana. Because the Prakritajana, they could not understand. They were thinking Ajamil is ordinary and he should be punished according to mundane logic. But only the Vishnujanas, the Harijanas, the Vishnudutas could establish that. And then he quotes from the Bhagavatam about how Yamaraj is chastising the Yamadutas. And therefore Prabhupada concludes in that section that after receiving the chastisement of Yamaraj, the Yamadutas became really afraid of the devotees. And so Prabhupada writes in one of that purport that for normal conditioned souls, Yamadutas are fearful, and for Yamadutas, Vaishnavas are fearful. Because as soon as Yamadutas see devotees, they become afraid. And this is the conclusion of how the Harijanas are superior. And his conclusion was so authentic and so powerful that there was a huge uproar in the crowd. And by the time he came to the conclusion of his speech, half the Smartha Brahmanas started disappearing from the scene. And they just escaped. And the whole crowd, they just wanted to come and take the dust of the lotus feet of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And the police became afraid that it will create a big chaos. So they just caught hold of his feet and put it in a bucket of water. And he didn't allow anyone to touch his feet, but they forced him, saying that it is going to be a big chaos here. And then they took the charanamrita, took that bucket of water, poured that bucket of water in huge barrels of water, and made a huge quantity of charanamrita, and took a pipe and sprayed it all over the crowd. And then the crowd was pleased that they received the charanamrita. And then they were very happy that because of this conclusion, they are getting a chance to also worship the Lord in his deity form as Shaligram, irrespective of so-called birth. And therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he was very heavy against the Jataka Goswamis or those who accepted that someone is a Brahman only based on birth. He was invited to give Bhagavad discourse at a place called Kasim Nagar. And the king of Kasim Nagar was King Maninchandra Bahadur. So this Maninchandra Bahadur was surrounded by many of these caste Brahmanas. And as soon as they heard that Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has come, they became very afraid. Because they understood, if Bhaktisiddhanta speaks the real philosophy of Bhagavat, we will be exposed. And we will be unemployed. Because the king will understand that we are cheats and he'll throw us out. So for the first 4 days, they did not allow Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to speak. They didn't allow him to come into the arena and even speak anything. And the king was wondering why he has not come. He's come to the palace and is staying here. Why is he not coming? And they say that they told the king that he is thinking he is very elevated and you are very low class. You are from the Tili caste. You are from the low caste and therefore he is not coming. And in fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur used to be sent prasad. And he would not touch the prasad. He fasted for 4 days. He just took tulsi from the top and he was surviving simply on tulsi and little water. And these caste brahmanas went and told the king, he is so puffed up, he is not even honoring the prasad we are sending, saying that you are from low caste. And like that they were provoking the king. So on the 5th day, he was given just 5 minutes to speak. The king personally came, invited him, and said, why you are not speaking, you should speak. So in 5 minutes, he just started speaking the Bhagavad Siddhanta, and this caste brahmana started shouting, and they just made him keep quiet by their loud, protests. And Siddhanta Thakur became so disturbed, he just left the place at night. He took 11 p.m. train. The king went to the station, said, "Why do you behave like this?" And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, "I did not accept any prasad at your house because, number one, you did not allow me to present the real conclusion of Bhagavat. And number two, even if the food you were presenting to me is prasad as you claim, but that food was being offered by many of the smartha pandits of your palace to the Lord. And the Lord does not accept the food offered by people with this smartha mentality. And therefore that food which you offered to me is not even prasad. And therefore I didn't even touch it." So night 11 p.m. he left, came back to Brajapatna at around 3 o'clock in the morning, went straight to the mutt, with his own hands cooked the food offered, and then broke his fast after 5 days. And this is the kind of strict discipline which he showed. And when people asked that why you were so strict and so heavy, he said, I am an acharya and I have to show by my example. So normal persons like us, we cannot imitate, we can't even think about it, of fasting for 4 days and not accepting any food just because of philosophical difference of opinion. But he was so strict, and therefore he had that power. Whatever he spoke could affect people. There was another king at Jajpur, and Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was giving katha on the 10 offenses to the holy name. And this king was requesting him, he should speak on Krishna Leela, glories of Krishna, glories of the holy name. Said, "Yes, part of the glories of holy name is Namaprad, offenses." Said, "Why there is need to discuss on Namaprad? Because Lord Chaitanya says, Namna Makari Bahuda, Tatrapita Niyamita Smarane Nakala. There are no rules and regulations. So why do you bother about all this?" And plus, most of the audience, there were thousands of people who had come, and 80% of them were all sadhus. And he said, practically most of the audience is sadhus, and most of them are Brahmins, and they do not need to hear all of these rules and regulations. They are already Brahmins. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, "Okay, I will show you what kind of Brahmins they are. Come to the pandal today evening." So they made an announcement that katha would begin at 4 p.m., and go on till 9 p.m. at night. So they made announcement that the katha is going to begin now, and nobody should leave the pandal at any time for all these 5 hours, and you have to remain all through and not even leave after 2 hours or 3 hours. Sit and hear all through the 5 hours. And then the katha began. 4 o'clock it began, exactly at around 6 o'clock. It was a regular time for smoking ganja for most of the sadhus there. So at 6 o'clock, gradually people started disappearing from behind, and outside there would be another group smoking chillam, and they would just smoke for 1-1.5 hours, again come back. And when it was 7:30, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur called the king and showed in the audience. Only 10% people were there, 90% had gone. And king said, "Where they have gone?" And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur took him outside, said, "See, everyone smoking chillam outside. This is your all Brahmins. This is your all sadhus. So therefore, how they can appreciate the holy name if they are breaking all these principles? Therefore, the first principle is to explain to them the nam aparad, or the offenses against the holy name." So one time he was going on the street in Navadvip, and in Jagannath Puri, and there was Anjatu Goswami, caste Goswami, and he was coming with a big fish in his hand. He was holding a big fish and walking by. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur told him, "You are a Goswami and you are supposed to behave well, and you are carrying this big fish, and that too not secretly but openly in front of everyone." And the Jatu Goswami said, "No, this is Gangar Phal. This is just the fruit of Ganga. So there is nothing wrong in this." And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur would become very disgusted with this behavior. And therefore, he emphasized on behavior, activity and the culture rather than just birth. And he was not just chastising Jata Goswamis, but then gradually he saw that whenever he would see, his own disciples are being affected by the same mentality, smartha mentality, he would become heavy with them also. So therefore, he was not only establishing this conclusion for people outside, but he was also trying to enforce it amongst his disciples in the Gaudiya Math. And many examples like that we could see, and how Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur dealt with it. So there was one devotee, and he was coming from a very strict Brahman family, and he had been trained in cleanliness, and his name was Bhushan Brahmachari, and he had a special penchant for taking bath and keeping himself clean. So he would take bath at least 5 to 6 times a day. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was giving katha and he was not present. So he came out looking for him, and then he saw that he was bathing. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur asked him, "You are bathing so many times in a day, even when I am giving katha, rather than sitting there you are only bathing. The Yuga Dharma is chanting, not bathing. So why are you spending so much of time doing this? We have to keep ourselves clean." But ultimately that is not the conclusion of the Shastras. You cannot become entangled in simply the details. There were few of his sannyasi disciples who were supposed to show the highest example. But when they would go for dana or charity, rather than acting as self-controlled Brahmins, they started using other techniques for raising funds. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was very angry with that. He didn't like it. So one of his sannyasi disciples, he went to one of the income tax officers and told him that, "You come with me and both of us will go together to the, you know, Marwadi colony where all these shops are, and then collect money. And when they see you as an income tax officer, they'll become afraid and immediately start giving." He said, "I am on duty, I can't do this. I mean, I can't be so unethical." So he said, "Okay, at least you don't come, give me your car." So he just took his car, the government car with income tax officer sign on that, and then went into the colony, where all the shops were. And as soon as the shopkeepers saw, they became afraid. They thought it's an income tax raid. And then out comes this sannyasi from this car and walks to the shopkeeper. And he's afraid, wondering what he's going to ask. And he says, "Just give me 10 bags of rice. And the shopkeeper is relieved, because he thought he's going to be a big raid. And he's only asking this much. Immediately he gives. So like that, so many shops they donated. And he brings all of these things to the Gaudiya Math. And then he declares, "Just see how much we have collected on the basis of this income tax officer's car." And when Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur heard this, he became so disturbed, and he expressed his displeasure by fasting. So he fasted the full day when he heard this, and he was very displeased. Another disciple, he came to Bombay. He went to one big, you know, industrialist house, and the industrialist prepared big feast and kept in front of him. And then this person just sat, the sannyasi, he didn't eat anything. And the host was requesting, "Please start eating." And he said, "Actually, we have one big project going on in Navadvip where we are constructing a big temple, and we need big water pump for that." He said, "That's fine. What is the connection with the food? Eat." He said, "No, but for that we need a lot of funds, and I was thinking if you could help us with that, then it would be very nice." "Okay, we will help you, but you eat." He said, "No, but it is disturbing my mind so much, I cannot eat right now, unless someone gives me assurance that they will sponsor this." And the wife of the family became very disturbed. She told the husband, "If Sadhu doesn't eat in the house, it is inauspicious. So whatever he is asking, just give it to him, but he should eat. Otherwise, misfortune will come upon family." So the husband had to agree. He said, "Okay, we will donate." And then he ate. And he came back and reported to Bhaktisiddhanta that so and so thing is sponsored now. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, "I am fasting today." He didn't like that at all. And he said, "This is not the way a Brahman should behave." And then he was glorifying our Puri Maharaj, because Puri Maharaj went in a similar time. and came back and he asked Puri Maharaj, what have you collected? And he said, I have collected 2 mushtis of rice and that is the only donation I have got. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, this will be more pleasing to Gaur Nithai than so much of other things which is collected by speaking lies. Because this is collected by showing the proper example of a Brahman and Vaishnava. So he was very particular even with his own members about how the behavior should be. And then specifically he was very much against anyone considering superiority based on birth or following principles simply based on rules and regulations. And in fact, one of his initial disciples was very close to him and his mother died and he wanted to perform the last rites. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur had told him, do not perform the rites according to the principles of Smartha Raghunandan, but you should perform these rites according to what Gopal Bhatta Goswami has given according to Satkriya Saradipika. But because at that time in Bengal, the Smartha Raghunandan was so famous, so powerful, there was intense social pressure from all sides upon this devotee. And Bhaktisiddhanta had even sent one written letter that if you follow this, everything will be finished because you are supposed to be my foremost disciple. And if you cannot take these principles strictly, what to speak of others? But in spite of that, he performed the last rites according to Smartha Raghunandan's principles. And this broke the heart of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur so much. And he made a comment, this is the beginning of the end of the Gaudiya Math. When the person on whom I have spent the maximum time has not understood this basic principle which I have in my mind, and that is going against these Smartha Brahmins. And he has just surrendered to the will of these Smartha Brahmins, and that is such a great misfortune. He was also against the nationalists, and they were also claiming superiority based on birth in the land, and he was not in favor of all this. There was 1931 big famine in Midnapur, and all the Indian National Congress came in front of Gaudiya Math because they learned that lakhs of rupees had been collected for a theistic doll exhibition. So the people who arrived there and performed dharna outside Gaudiya Math was Gandhi himself, Gandhiji, Netaji Subhash Bose, and so many other big leaders. For 3 days they were shouting slogans. Such big leaders. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur came out at the end of the 3rd day. And then he had a dialogue with Mahatma Gandhi. And he told him that the oil and the ghee which is there in this mud is meant for the Lord's pleasure and not for your charkha. And then he said that you are talking about all this famine or lack of food and water, but what about the famine of Harikatha? And you are talking of collection of money for some flood, but what about the flood of Bhavsagar? Who is going to save them? And therefore it is my duty to save suffering humanity from this, and you cannot understand these principles. And therefore Gandhi was very impressed with this dialogue, and he went back and sent a letter with 10 questions. And the first question was, who is a Harijan? Because Gandhi himself had become confused after his discussion with Bhaktisiddhanta, because he had not seen a personality like this. He sent forward 10 questions beginning with, who is a Harijan? And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur wrote a reply explaining, but I don't think he took it seriously or applied it. Netaji Bose, he would fight with Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur on these principles. But Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur just told him that as far as Gaudiya Math is concerned, we are in the mission of saving suffering humanity from birth and death. We have not come here to become construction worker or perform masonry work, and that so many others can do. And he was taking special care of Subhash Chandra Bose's family, because Netaji's family was in Cuttack. And his father, J.N. Bose, was a very well-to-do person, but they had kept Muslim cooks who were cooking meat at home. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur requested his father that at least if you can't give up meat eating, we will help you. And he used to send tiffin filled with rajbhog every day to their house from the Gaudiya Math at Cuttack for 10 years. Subhash Chandra Bose's family received Mahaprasad, rajbhog, every day for 10 years. and that is to his credit. And he was so pleased, his father was impressed, he transformed, and he had a big elephant which he had received as donation from the king. And that elephant he gave in donation to Gaudiya Math. And that elephant was part of the parikrama which they would go, Navdeep Mandal and Brajmandal parikrama. They would have at least 3 to 4 elephants and at least 15-20 horses, along with 12,000 devotees who would go on parikrama for their regular yatras. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was very pleased that at least, if not the son, the father is becoming favorable and is accepting and given up all this conception of nationalism or whatever. So in this way, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was against all of these principles which went against pure bhakti. And he made this very clear that anyone who is opposing these principles of pure bhakti will not achieve good fortune. He will be in misfortune himself and put others also in misfortune. And was also very much against the mission which were claiming that Bengan is better than Tulsi and things like that. He went for a school program and he asked a child, so which is better, Bengan or Tulsi? And the child had been influenced already by this philosophy. So the child said, Bengan, that is better. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur explained to him very clearly that why you think Bengan is better, this is not correct. You should know that one should not just think of in terms of one's own interest, but we should think in terms of Lord's interest. Tulsi Maharani is like the ticket collector of the rasa dance of the spiritual world. And unless we get her mercy, we cannot enter into the spiritual world. And in this way, he was explaining to small children and feeling very repentant and remorseful that in Bengal, such widespread nonsense had been spread by a particular mission. And in fact, he would consider that person who spread this in a very derogatory way. And he would say he was not even a human being. He looks like a goat with a beard, he would call. And he has spread so much of nonsense about pure bhakti. And in fact, when the Muslims had spread their influence so much that in Navadvip, the weekly holiday had become Friday because it was a day of the Muslims. And so Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur sent one of his disciples, who was Bipin Bihari Goswami, and he later became Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha Maharaj. And he went and talked to the district collector. And what he did was, he took a list of Fridays which were falling on Ekadashi. So he went to this Angrezi Babu and told him that actually the Muslims, what they call Friday, Hindus call it Ekadashi. And this man was impressed. He said, okay, fine, so what do you want me to do? He said, just issue a circular saying that holiday will be on Ekadashi. It is the same thing. Friday means Ekadashi. So he issued circular saying holiday is on Ekadashi. And then everyone followed that system all over in that place, in that district. And then it was reported to Bhaktisiddhanta that somehow your disciple has managed to change the holiday back to Ekadashi. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was very happy and he called him and said, you are a very cunning fellow. But what you have done is very good. That this is the original system in Navadvip, in holy place, that Ekadashi is a time for just chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. And what you have done is perfect. But because of the influence of Jata Goswamis, Muslim, nationalists, this, that, so many people, the pure principles have been lost. And nobody has any clue as to what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu originally gave. And therefore what he established, then Srila Prabhupada took it and spread it all over the world by establishing ISKCON. So we are very grateful to Srila Saraswati Thakur for giving us this clear understanding about what exactly is the concept of a true Brahman and a true Vaishnav. Otherwise, as we see in this purport, a Brahmana's position is exalted, but who exactly is a Brahman, no one knows. And therefore, falsely, people are glorified. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. So any comments, Prabhu? Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Hare Bhav. You mentioned that there were three aspects that make one a Brahmin, not by birth, but by, you said, by his actions, qualities, and then you said culture. You elaborated on the actions and the qualities, but you didn't. Could you elaborate a little bit more on the culture? What do you mean by when you say the culture?
Culture means a process for transformation. That means if you put milk in a curd, then the milk gets transformed into curd. If you take a chemical and put it in a culture, then culture means that environment which creates transformation. So similarly, even if a person is not from a good birth or not from a specific background, but if he is given a suitable environment, then that environment will create transformation. So therefore, culture basically means a suitable environment or conditions by which suitable qualities and behavior can be inculcated or generated. And that's what Srila Prabhupada said, that in our ISKCON temples, we are providing a culture of Krishna consciousness where a child at the age of 5, when he joins the Gurukul, then he imbibes that qualities. He may be from any background or any kind of activity. And just like recently I was giving example that one of our devotees, not necessarily, is not from a Vaishya background, is a born Brahman in one sense. But because throughout his life he has been with businessmen, he has been with share brokers and people like that, and he has been with people like this, his whole dealing, his activity, qualities have all become quite like Vaishya. Right? And so you can see that he has been affected by the culture, by the environment. And therefore, as far as Krishna consciousness is concerned, it is the ultimate culture which will bring the person to the stage of being a servant of Krishna. As Bhaktisiddhanta gives the story of Kastvam, that there was this village, and this village there was this Brahman, so-called Brahman. He was not real Brahman. So a real Sanskrit scholar came, and all the villagers told this Brahman, you have to go and fight against this and defeat him. So the Sanskrit scholar and both of them sat in front, and the Sanskrit scholar asked the Brahman, Kastvam, who are you? And this so-called Brahman did not know Sanskrit. He was only posing. So he couldn't understand the question. So when he heard Kastvam, he said, oh, Kastvam. And he gave the answer, Kastvam, Khastvam, Jastvam, Jastvam, Nastvam, Tastvam. And the Sanskrit scholar could understand that he is bogus. And so he just got disgusted, got up and walked off. So when he walked off, all the other villagers, they started glorifying this Brahman. Just see, you have defeated him. You have sent him away by your power of your Sanskrit. So then Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur writes in his purport that as far as real devotees are concerned, when you ask a Vaishnava, Kastvam, who are you? His answer will be, Gopir Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Dasanudas Naham Vipro Nacha Narapatir Napi Vaishya Nashudra Kastvam Naham Vipro. I am not this, I am not that. What I am servant of servant of servant. And to understand this, you have to create an environment, a culture. So here, as soon as you come to the temple, this culture that I am the servant of Krishna, that is established and emphasized. So that is the meaning, culture. I mean, you know it. Thank you. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanande.